Diary, 1899. I have slept until 2:30, and I arise and prepare for my writing. I commit my ways to the Lord, for I am wholly dependent upon His mercy and grace to aid me in glorifying His name with pen and voice. Warnings have been given me with reference to Dr. Caro. He is in danger of thinking that if he separated from Seventh-day Adventists and walked with the world, he would receive more honor. He thinks that if he could follow his own plans, he would have greater influence. But if he gathers to himself the many responsibilities that he desires, he will certainly make a mistake, for he has not sufficient physical, mental, moral, or spiritual power to carry them. Why have I labored so hard to have Brother John Wessels come from Africa to unite with the sanitarium in Sydney? Because I know that he and the members of his family were in great peril through hereditary and cultivated tendencies, and that some would make shipwreck of the faith. And because we need the very best ability we can obtain in that institution. Brother John Wessels has good capabilities. If he consecrates himself entirely to God, surrendering his will to him, God will work with him. If he loves and fears God, he will be used to God's glory. He is not to be entirely bound up in sanitarium work, for he cannot endure a sameness of work, but is to take part in the conference work also, with advisors of judgment and experience. This will enable him to understand the situation. He must have the presence of Christ with him in his work. Without this, he can do nothing to win the approval of God. Christ said, "Without me ye can do nothing." John 15, verse 5. In the management of the sanitarium, we must guard against employing persons who are constantly watching for opportunities to serve themselves. No one must be given a position when this would be against the good of the institution. Those who are connected with the institution must be tried and proved. Those who are led by the Lord Jesus will bear this proving and will be a blessing to the institution, for they will not betray God's work into the hands of the enemy. Everything cannot be adjusted just now, but let us seek the Lord, and as we advance, circumstances which will call for careful consideration will arise. Thus the qualifications and value of the worker will be developed. One thing I shall not do. I shall not encourage Brother Morse to have any special connection with the interests of the sanitarium. His opinion of his own capabilities is altogether too high. He is not the man for the place. He needs greater humility, that every moment he may feel his need of God. Brother Sharp has business experience. With his abilities, he can serve the cause of God in the sanitarium. If he is a man who will be firm to principle, who will follow the principles God has revealed in his word, who will not be swayed from the right, he is the man for the place. But in mercy to himself, he must not be given so many responsibilities. He is in danger of brain difficulty. I feel fearful that unless he is relieved, he will fail in brain power. He is inclined to gather too much to himself. Wherever he may work, he needs careful watch care, that he may not become a mental wreck. He is not to be a leader, but is to bear responsibilities in connection with others. To every man God has given his work. There is danger of Dr. Caro seeking to meet the standard of the world in his ideas and practice. He needs to seek the Lord at every step. He should keep in view, not his own glory, but the glory of the Lord. He is altogether too much inclined to keep Dr. Kellogg before his mind as his pattern, to try to do the things Dr. Kellogg has done, when he has not the experience to warrant the doing of these things. He cannot carry responsibilities like those which Dr. Kellogg carries. And he is in danger of setting the medical missionary work first, making it the body instead of the arm. He will not succeed in this, and he must not attempt that which he cannot accomplish. He will be ambitious to do great things by separating the medical missionary work from the gospel ministry. But the Lord does not lead his physicians to separate the medical missionary work for the gospel ministry. Truth, present truth for this time, is to be believed and acted upon in connection with the principles of health reform. The sanitariums which are established are to be closely and inseparably bound up with the gospel. The Lord has given instruction that the gospel is to be carried forward, and the gospel includes health reform in all its phases. Our work is to enlighten the world, for it is blind to the movements which are taking place, preparing the way for the plagues which God will permit to come upon the world. God's faithful watchmen must give the warning. Dr. Caro has a desire to do large things. He is in danger of spending his energies outside the sanitarium, instead of devoting all his powers to making the institution a power in connection with the gospel message and the Sabbath reform. Dr. Caro needs to place himself where he will understand the truth for this time. This is his only safety as a physician. He needs to have his feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. He is in danger of becoming confused and of failing to see the elevated, holy influence which the Sabbath question is to exert on the work for this time. He will consider it necessary to do on the Sabbath many things which should not be done on that day. If he seeks to embrace so many responsibilities, he will come to pay very little regard to the Sabbath. Such an influence will be a curse to the institution. Those who are connected with our sanitariums are to be taught to regard the Sabbath question as the great test for this time. God desires His people to bind medical missionary work up with the work of the third angel's message. This is the work that will restore the moral image of God in man. If Dr. Caro walks and works under the supervision of God, he will realize that sanitariums have been established at great cost in order to show men and women the reformatory work that is to be done in order to prepare a people to receive the truth. Sanctification through the truth gives men grace and power, enabling them to be gospel workers. Such workers look up to Christ as the greatest physician the world has ever known. Dr. Caro is not to study how he can best meet the requirements of the world. He is not to pattern after the world in his appearance and equipage, flattering himself that this is the way to meet the higher classes. The gospel forbids the cherishing of worldly ideas. You may ask, where? I point you to the life of Christ. Think of what he was before he came to our world, commander of all the heavenly intelligences. How did he come to this earth? We know him as a poor man who, to the very close of his earthly history, maintained his humility. The idea that outward show gives influence to a man, or his position, is one of Satan's lies. Let no man climb above the methods and example of our Lord. There is no higher standard than the life of Christ. As a people, we are to shun the pretense of the world, which has made men and women what they are today. We are not to copy the customs and practices of worldly wise men in order to gain favor or influence. Christlikeness is true Christianity. In the truth, there is a power which no outward appearance of display can give, which no worldly suppositions or opinions can change or alter. Isaiah 41, verse 17 to 20. When the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I the Lord will hear them. I the God of Israel will not forsake them. I will open rivers in high places, and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water, and the dry land springs of water. I will plant in the wilderness the cedar, the shittah tree, and the myrtle, and the oil tree. I will set in the desert the fir tree, and the pine, and the box tree together, that they may see, and know, and consider, and understand together, that the hand of the Lord hath done this, and the Holy One of Israel hath created it. Verses 17 to 20. Our physicians are to show Christ-like simplicity in every line of their work. If they are clothed with the panoply of heaven, Christ-like meekness and lowliness, they will be truly successful. But conformity to the world, to gain its favor and recognition, will bring weakness. No such concession is to be made. Our hope and strength do not depend on outside appearances. Those who are influenced against the truth by a lack of extravagance in house, in furniture, in dress, in equipage, show that they are incapable of understanding the merit of truth. They are not capable of appreciating the gospel of Christ. God is dishonored when those connected with the work, which is to prepare a people to stand the test of the time of trouble before us, forsake him to follow the fashions of the world. My instructor said, "The great work of reformation is to be carried forward by the people whom the Lord has chosen. These are not to show their conformity to the world, but their separation from the world. They are to be a people who in the daily life represent Christ. O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength, lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, Behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Isaiah 40, verse 9 to 11. Our joy is in our Redeemer. He covers us with his righteousness. We are distinguished from the world because God has placed his seal upon us. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 17, 18. The Lord requires all who connect with him to set a right example before unbelievers. God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God, and not of us. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6, 7. Behold the churches claiming to be Christian. They have need of a thorough reformation. Plain, distinct, and decided, the message must go forth. Babylon is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Revelation 18, verse 2. Said the Lord's messenger, You are not to seek that popularity which is led far away from the simplicity of Christ. God is to be your leader. Those who are Christians will stand in the strength of God. They will show in their lives the superiority which God gives to obedient subjects, those who are loyal to his commandments. This is to be the peculiarity of the workers connected with the sanitarium. Those who believe the truth will never be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The principles of truth are to pervade our medical institutions. And then, as those who have followed the customs and fashions of the world shall, in their suffering, come to these institutions, they will see a simplicity that will charm their senses. They will feel the unseen presence of heavenly angels. The furniture in our sanitariums is to be neat and tasteful, but not costly. Let nothing be purchased to represent the fashions of the world. The people of God, as his representatives, are to avoid giving the slightest impression that they think a certain kind of hat or coat, a costly house, or an elegant equipage necessary to success. They are to remember that they wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places, and that they are to take unto themselves the whole armor of God, that they may be able to stand in the evil day. The gospel message has been given to us to proclaim to a world dead in trespasses and sins. In practice, we are to separate from the popular churches and from the world. We are to stand face to face with the foe, remembering that our God-given inspiration of truth is as much more powerful than worldly customs as the heavens are higher than the earth. Just as surely as our physicians conform to the worldly customs of those who do not honor God by keeping his commandments, so surely will they dishonor God. They must reap the harvest of the seed they have sown by such a course of action. Workers who love and fear God, who are not in any way inclined to worldliness, are to be connected with our medical institutions. The managers, who have a powerful influence over those with whom they are connected, are to strive constantly to reach the highest standard. There is a world to be saved, and those who accept the truth are to hold fast to its principles. As they represent the high, noble dignity of the truth, they will win the approval of God. Why should we, though sorely pressed for means, work so hard to establish sanitariums? It is that men and women may be brought to a knowledge of the truth, that every influence may be brought to bear to advance the gospel. Sanitariums are established that they may stand as memorials of the gospel, that in men and women may be restored the divine image. Let the workers in our health reform institutions exert every particle of their influence to make these institutions all that their name signifies. Let everything in our sanitariums be useful and comfortable. Let those connected with them find the chief physician one who makes God his efficiency, one who believes the truth and speaks with fervency of the blessings of the truth. The nurses are to learn daily that Christ is to be their pattern. Health reform is to stand out more prominently in the proclamation of the third angel's message. The principles of health reform are found in the Word of God. The gospel of health is to be firmly linked with the ministry of the Word. It is the Lord's design that the restoring influence of health reform shall be a part of the last great effort to proclaim the gospel message. Our physicians are to be God's workers. They are to be men whose powers have been sanctified and transformed by the grace of Christ. Their influence is to be knit up with the truth that is to be given to the world. In perfect and complete unity with the gospel ministry, the work of health reform will reveal its God-given power. Under the influence of the gospel, great reforms will be made by medical missionary work. But separate medical missionary work from the gospel, and the work will be crippled. The message in regard to the fall of Babylon must be given. God's people are to understand in regard to the angel who is to lighten the whole world with his glory, while he cries mightily, with a loud voice, "Babylon the Great is fallen." Verse 2. The solemn events which are now taking place belong to a series of events in the chain of history, the first link of which is connected with Eden. Let the people of God prepare for what is coming upon the earth. Extravagance in the use of means, selfishness, heresies have taken the world captive. For centuries, satanic agencies have been at work. Will they now give up without a struggle? There are only two parties in our world, those who are loyal to God and those who stand under the banner of the Prince of Darkness. Satan and his angels will come down with power and signs and lying wonders to deceive those who dwell on the earth, and if possible, the very elect. The crisis is right upon us. Is this to paralyze the energies of those who have a knowledge of the truth? Is the influence of the powers of deception so far-reaching that the influence of the truth will be overpowered? The Battle of Armageddon is soon to be fought. He on whose vesture is written the name, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, leads forth the armies of heaven on white horses, clothed in fine linen, clean and white. John writes, "I saw heaven opened, and behold a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written, that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, Come, and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast, and the kings of the earth, and their armies, gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse, and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse." Revelation 19, verse 11 to 21.